When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Well, if it isn't my favorite, aliens, ghosts, and robots. Hi, everybody. This is Keith. I hope you're doing okay. Pardon me, I have a little bit of a cold that I'm getting over today. I just wanted to take a moment to remind you all to check out the Equinox Anthology. It's a collection of short science fiction stories from some amazing creators in the indie community. It's great entertainment for your ears, but it's also a good way to introduce yourself to some other creators in the field who are all doing fantastic work. Equinox Anthology is released every quarter on the solstices and the equinoxes. The last one was the winter solstice that was just released. The next one is going to be for the vernal equinox, released in March. And we're looking for people to join in and be a part of the Equinox Anthology themselves. If you are an audio drama producer and you're interested, we'd love to have you pitch an idea for our upcoming show. It's a fun, low-risk experience and a great way to do some cross-promotion with other shows. You can find all the details at alienghostrobot.com/equinox. And whoever you are, you should definitely listen to the stories. Search for Equinox Anthology on your favorite podcast app. Short episode today, but there's only 3 left, including this one. An Invisible Sun by W. Keith Timms. Chapter 23. Something felt wrong about Twine Drive this time. The sky outside was still a featureless black, but the violet glow that preceded us seemed hotter and closer. Every so often, rips or tears in this eerie backdrop glided past us, undulating like aurora borealis. Through them, I could see the dots of stars, smeared and distorted. The ship vibrated ominously. For the first few minutes, it was harrowing, wondering if we were going to break apart or explode or go hurtling off for eternity into whatever weird dimension this is. But when we didn't immediately die, acceptance came. Whatever will happen will happen. There didn't seem to be much we could do otherwise. Catherine studied her control panel, cradling her swollen arm, tired and defeated.
All right, so estimated time of arrival is just over 4 hours. Everything is set as best it can be. If it's all the same to you two, I'm going to close my eyes and rest for a while. Thank you, Catherine. Shut up, Christopher. I hate you for doing this to me.
I'd like to think she didn't really mean it. Not completely, but I wasn't so sure. The life she knew was over, and she was filled with doubt. She was looking for someone to blame. I understood that. This was her Ken Zen moment. A moment when everything changes, and you cannot go back. If she needed someone to blame, I could live with it. I wished we could have been friends, though, in other lives, born from different choices. None of us spoke for a long while. Everyone was preoccupied with their own doubts and demons. I nodded off for a bit, and when I awoke, the lesion on my neck had reopened, and there's blood all down my front. More of it, anyway. As I tried to staunch the wound, Sister Lucy unstrapped herself from her seat and brought the first aid kit over. Some of her composure had returned, but sadness hung heavily on her face. Catherine was deep asleep. Lucy pressed a gauze pad to the lesion.
It is true what I told you. The money I took was not helping the poor. Please believe me. What happened? I was working at a mission in Bangladesh. Astonishing poverty there. Appalling living conditions. Pollution, crime, disease. The plague? Yes, but there were so many other kinds of disease that it went undiagnosed. It was treated as other illnesses, when there was treatment at all. The mission there became a focal point for the church's public image, a way to show the world that the institution still cared, and still did good works. There was a great deal of press surrounding it. It brought in a lot of donations. But they didn't use the money. A little, yes. But mostly for the mission building itself, and on promoting the church's work there. They built a hospital wing, but then barely furnished it with beds. They did not hire enough staff. They spent more money on documentary crews than on medicine and food. The poor remained sick and hungry. I discovered there was a huge reserve of cash just sitting in a bank, idle, while all around us people starved.
She carefully taped the gauze to the lesion and began cleaning me up as best she could with an antiseptic wipe. Her touch was practiced, efficient, and caring.
So then what? I went to the Mother Superior and asked why we could not help the poor. She told me that we were helping them by leading them to God, and that if they died in our care, they could take comfort in knowing their souls were saved. I suggested it might be more comforting if they were not sick and hungry, and she suggested I should work in a different mission. That's terrible. Yes, but it is the way of things. Not just in the church, but in government and in business too. It is usually not a person that is bad. But when we gather together, if we are not careful, our worst natures come out. What did you do?
She examined my chest and neck for more lesions, found a couple of places where the skin was thin and threatening to open. As she continued, she applied some ointment there.
I left. I returned to the Eastern Metro, where diseases are not so common, and began to notice the plague. I met Oliver, who was working for an underground news agency investigating Shayot's activities. We agreed that the plague had to be stopped, but as we brought in experts and scientists, we needed money to fund their experiments. So with Oliver's help, we took the money from the mission in Bangladesh.
She buttoned up my shirt and fixed my collar for me.
That's brazen. The money was supposed to help people, yes? I hope that it still is. Please believe me that if the church was providing food, medicine, and doctors for the Bangladeshi people, I never would have touched it.
She began to clean up and repack the first aid kit, keeping her eyes studiously on her work.
They said many things about me as a person when the connection was made. There are places where I cannot go or face arrest. They excommunicated me, separated me from God. But surely they can't do that. I mean, they don't get to say who gets to have a relationship with your God, do they? I do not know. I hope not. It is what I was taught and believed, though. The only thing I try to hang on to is that I am doing more good than harm in my life. And that despite everything, I still have my faith. I do not know if God approves of me or hates me. But if I can see this through, if we can show the world the truth about Shayot, if we can stop the plague and save the suffering of millions, then...
She trailed off, tears in the corners of her eyes, which she fought to control.
Then what? Then my faith will not have been misplaced, and I am not what they said I was. A crackpot. A terrorist. A thief who hates the poor. Then I will know that I was right. And God still loves me. If the world can just see that it's real and true.
As she snapped the lid closed, I lay back in the pilot's seat and stared at the unstable space beyond the cockpit window.
Did you know that butterflies can see colors we can't? Their eyes are built to see hues we don't even have names for. I learned that little bit of trivia years ago. I'm not sure where, but it's a favorite. Can you imagine what our world looks like through a butterfly's eyes? And of course, you can't. You have no frame of reference. Our brains and eyes aren't built to see what they see. I don't know about God, sister. I still don't believe in any of that. History has taught me that human societies who think they have all the answers end up doing the most horrible things. The Crusades, wars, witch hunts, genocides, consumerism and cults and dogma. Maybe we can't live with the doubt. Maybe we're terrified of not knowing, so we'll do anything to keep that fear at bay. But the universe is vast, and we are tiny. Our brains aren't equipped to understand all its secrets. But I think the doubt is important. It keeps us honest. It keeps us respectful of the possibilities. Even with evidence in hand, I think a lot of people won't believe you. We're not built to know. We have rational minds, but are propelled through life by our emotions, filling in the gaps left by our lacks. But maybe it's just important that we make the attempt. For what it's worth, I believe you.
She was staring at the floor of the flight deck, haunted. Wiping her eyes, she returned the first aid kit to its compartment. Then she took the metal container of the eye from Matthew's satchel and cradled it in her arms. Hesitantly, she slid open the shutter, and the purple glow within lit up her teary face. With fingers pressed to the glass, she stared into it, eyes flickering, searching fruitlessly, trying to see something, anything, but for her. Nothing was there. I turned away and stared instead at the other violet light, shimmering and tearing the sky open. The ship rumbled and creaked around us like it was in pain. Eventually, I slept again, deviled with short-lived, sweaty dreams, filled with unintelligible whispers and chaotic, shifting silhouettes. An Invisible Sun is written, produced, performed, and composed by W. Keith Timms and is a production of Alien Ghost Robot Creative Media. If you're enjoying the story, please tell your friends and family about it and leave stars or reviews on your favorite podcast platforms. I hope you'll join us on our Discord server or sign up for our mailing list so we can stay in touch. Members of our Patreon get to hear future episodes early, plus other cool perks for all our shows. Go to InvisibleSunPod.com for more information.